Hey everybody, this is Scooter. Great way, the number one way to help the podcast is just let somebody else know your honest experience or feelings about the podcast, whether it's your friends, your neighbors, or there's just a ton of press coverage lately about sleep-related music and books and all that stuff. So if you can take the time to share your honest experience in a comment on any sleep-related articles or any other sleep-related stuff you see, but just don't spam, just use your honest experience. That's going to help other people find out about this podcast, help them sleep. And, you know, we're building this thing hopefully into something sustainable, you know, in long term, you know, that's going to be here for everybody. So thanks for your support. And spread the word. That's all I'm asking. Thanks. Hey, you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble falling asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a safe place. I'm going to send my voice via the zeros and ones across the deep, dark night. Extend my hand, extend my voice, and say, hey, come join me in this safe place. I'm going to try to distract you from whatever's running through your brain, whatever's cranking. In three main spots, when I hear from people, it's your brain, number one, body, number two, people with either chronic pain or temporary pain issues, or your emotions, number three, and that's not an order of importance. Obviously, some people, it's all three, some people, it's just one, and you're just having a temporary bump. But some people, you know, as I said, the Christmas example's a great one. You got something big and exciting coming up. And you need to be distracted from that. So whatever it is, I'm going to try to distract you from it. And the way I'm going to do it tonight is I'm going to talk about Metastasis, the Colombian version of Breaking Bad. And I watched the episode. I watched episode one, so I'm going to talk about the first time I watched it, the notes I took. Then I watched the parallel or the corresponding episode of Breaking Bad, took some notes at that. Then I watched Metastasis again. Now, Metastasis in Spanish, I don't speak much Spanish, but much, you know, I guess more, I now speak more than, I can't say I don't speak any, but I couldn't tell you what barely is in Spanish, so I can't say, you know, I'm not even positive I speak, to be honest, I'd have to pause and think about it for a while. So the third time I watched the episode again, Metastasis, but I watched with the subtitles, and I say, okay, let's learn some words, let's write some down. And then I look the words up, and, you know, we say, geez, what else did we notice? You know, what else can we talk about? But I use lulling, soothing tones when I discuss it. And if this is your first time here or your 50th time here, you're like, well, geez, that sounds, I'm curious to hear how this guy does it, but it doesn't exactly sound gripping at the same time. So do you have a unique viewpoint, cultural, social, political about Breaking Bad? No. Do you have a, you know, background in media criticism? Or a knowledge of, you know, metaphors, or, you know, are you Vince Gilligan's, you know, best friend from grammar? None of those things. Do you have a unique insight into the human condition that could be related to the journey of Walter White and Walter Blanco? And, you know, other, you know, like an intellectual way of viewing it? No, I'd say unique maybe. Human, I'm human, so I do suffer from the human condition. But the rest of that stuff you said, I wasn't sure I really understood it. So no, we'll just say no. But I'll tell you what, but you know, I tell you what, and this, I don't mean to shame you or accuse you of anything. You sound like the kind of brain that when you let me ask you this brain, part of somebody's brain that's talking to me, probably mine, but it could be, you know, a relatable part of my brain that somebody else might identify with. Sorry, you got quiet there. Well, it just, you didn't, usually you shame me, so. Okay, yeah, like I said, I'm not shaming you, But you seem like you had a lot of concerns about what I'm going to be doing here. Does it feel like a lot of these concerns crop up about bedtime, about, you know, this guy that's running the show's inadequacy in all those arenas, socioeconomic, you know, all those? Yes. And are you trying to protect this guy from all his shortcomings in a cold, cruel world out there? Yeah, kind of, I think I am. And does it get real stressful to you at bedtime because it's all quiet and you want to figure out the solutions to all his problems? Yeah, you're right about it. And do you find, and I mean this in the most gray area, open source sense of the meaning. I don't think open source. I wish I could open source my brain. But, do you find that you maybe just don't have all the tools that you would need to protect this said person? Like, you can't 100% accurately predict the future. It'd be nice for you, wouldn't it? Well, yeah, I just usually use shorthand that the future is going to be not so great or a lot worse than that. And I make most of, you know, things I tell them at bedtime based on that. Well, geez, that's great, because this is a really constructive conversation we're having with each other. But basically, what I'm going to do here for you and for everything else out there is that you like these lulling, soothing tones I'm using with you, this kind, I don't find myself full of compassion or empathy, but I'm trying to learn and I'm trying to have a little empathy for you, whatever part of the brain you want to call it. Do you have a name? Well, it's funny you should ask, because, you know, they have a lot of names. I'd like to be Bad Brains, you know, like the band. Well, the group, I guess they wouldn't call themselves Bad Brains, eh? Well, that's, or Bad Brain. Bad Brains? Yeah, just call me Bad Brains. I know it's plural, but he makes it crazier, huh? Well, hey, Bad Brains, I'll tell you what, why don't you go lie down over there? You listen to me. You run security back there. But I'll tell you what, with my something about my lulling, soothing tones, they tend to keep security on the down, you know, the lower levels. So you can just kick back. Why don't you take your shoes? Are those shoes you're wearing? Yeah, these are Bad Brains, you know, bad shoes, because I'm Bad Brains. Well, that's great, Bad Brains. So just kick back. I'm going to talk about these shows. And I'm going to, you know, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to take your hand and everyone else's hand. And together, our little campsite here is going to transport us through those gates, across whatever the realms of consciousness or whatever. You know, you're in charge of those big words, but we don't need them right now. And ideally, they'll carry us over into dreamland, and, you know, the person you're in charge of will be just fine. You know, my lulling, soothing tones will keep them safe tonight. Well, technically, they won't. I know, because I saw you getting agitated there, because that was the technicality, and you got me on it. You nailed me. And, you know, Bad Brains, that was a test. I just wanted to make sure, you know, I said, well, kick back, but I know you're secure. This person's secure, and your security attempt to keep them secure. But I'm, you know, I'm a different kind of security person. I'm the kind that says, well, like, I work for the company that's, I guess, well, that's a, we don't have time for a whole nother metaphor. But I'll tell you what, I'll be doing my best using, distracting all you guys so you all get rested. So tomorrow, when your humans got to go out there in that world, you know, work, life, waking up stuff, but, you know, then you'll be ready to help them. You'll be rested, because I want you at your best too, Bad Brains. And so, how's that sound? How's that? And you know what? You don't have to like it, Bad Brains. Just give it a shot tonight. What do you think about that? And I can promise you, I'll do a little bit of silly stuff just for you. I don't know if I'll remember to say Bad Brains. Bad Brains, what would you think about having a puppy named Bad Brains too? You could say, oh, Bad Brains. Come here, Bad Brains. Oh, Bad Brains. Like, do you brain parts have, pets? Oh, I think Bad Brains is, in some sort of fugue state. You know, like a sleep mode where I guess it's more of an it. I don't want to, but Bad Brains is, you know, we'll sleep it, but why, you know, kind of like a motion detector. So we'll just, so that's how the podcast works. I just used it, an example by accident. Which is how these new openings usually work, because my brain has a plethora of different watchful Isn't there a watchful housemaster or something? I don't know. You know, different things that are, when I go to bed, they get all irritable. You're irritable. I know. Don't worry, bad brains. I corrected myself. So that's the podcast. It is, you know, first couple times here, you might be like, what in the hell? And that's a perfectly legitimate, normal reaction. You might be skeptical at hell, as hell, or I'd be skeptical at hell. I wonder if that gets you in a deeper level. Oh, you're skeptical? Bring them downstairs, boys. Oh, boy, I better get this skepticism out of my system before I go down there. Sorry, I get distracted there. And now I can't get, you know, skepticism about hell, extra punishments in hell because I'm skeptical about hell. Oh, boy. But, you know, I'm going to just try to distract myself from that and keep going with the story. But this is your first time here. This is what you can expect. I'm not a guru, not a sleep expert, not a meditator. Well, I'm testing out. I mean, I'm not a guided meditator, you know, mediator of meditation, definitely not. No science background, you know, except for, chemistry kit when I was little. You know, I'm probably one of the reasons they banned a lot of those ingredients in there. So that's it, but the ingredients tonight I'm going to use, lulling soothing tones, pointless meanders, wings of pointlessness. I got those extended and gently waving, if you could just watch those gently wave. Vestigial wings, maybe, because I'm not positive what that means. They always say tail, but they're just gently, but they're pointless. And you say, well, does that mean they can't fly? I can't tell you that because it'd take me forever to explain it. But the key message I want to tell you is I'm glad you're here, and I do hope I help you fall asleep. Thanks for stopping by. All right, housekeeping. We're on the web, www.sleepwithmepodcast.com. Older episodes are there. I'd say most, if not almost all our episodes are on iTunes or on your favorite podcatcher. But if you can't find something, it'll be on our website and download it free, no problem. If you want to hear, you know, the evolution of dullness from the beginning, I guess he thinks the podcast has evolved, honey. Well, I mean, anyway, that little break there was brought to you by my internal critic, who's been making appearances. I'd rather have, I don't know what happened to Nana. She must be on some sort of vacation. Okay, so we're on the web. You can get a hold of me, comment on the website, feedback at Sleep With Me Podcast. Quickest way is at Dear Scooter on Twitter or feedback or Facebook. Feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com is the email, but Facebook, I think it's Sleep With Me Podcast. That's where I post bloopers. And I'll tell you what, this is Sunday, so tomorrow, I don't know what episode it is, but there's a blooper of me singing Let It Go and telling a personal story about Les Mis. And I still haven't determined if it's the author of Let It Go. So listen to that story. It'll be up on at some point on Monday. And then the bloopers from this episode will be up at some point. You know, inconsistently, I post them, but, you know, I do my best. And this is like the blooper pitch, which I shouldn't be pitching because it's terribly embarrassing. But you also get, like, if you listen to bloopers, you actually hear what goes on behind the show, which then you probably be like, well, geez, am I a mandatory reporter? The National Journal of Oddities, are you a mandatory reporter for them? Yeah, because then you probably have to call that in. Okay, so that's Facebook, Twitter. I want to say thanks to Chris Posey Posterson for Sounds Like an Earful, who does our music. Scotty and Jennifer on our artwork. Lord and Lady of the Podcast, haven't heard from them in a while, but they rule, you know, in absentia or whatever you say, but they're still in charge, though, even though they're a silent rule is the best rule a lot of times. And then they have the defrenestrator, who hopefully hasn't taken over, and we just haven't gotten back to the old country to find out the defrenestrator's defrenestrated our Lord and Lady. But I like the defrenestrator, Nick Van Cor, Phenom 3. We have a Facebook group, like kind of like an unofficial Facebook group, because there's no, you know, official, you know, like, hey, you got to pay or some crap like that. Just go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods, N-O-D-S. That'll take you to the Facebook group, and then you just you click that you want to join. And then one of our great moderators, Laura, Jennifer B., Julie C., Rachel L. to G., and Lie to Lie will get a hold of you and let you in there. And you can talk sleep stuff with people. Okay, that. Oh, Sleep to Strange is launched. So that's on Monday night and Wednesday night. And that's going to be going strong. I have the next 2 weeks already ready to go. Maybe just next week's. But that's episodes without intros. But it gives you something on two more nights a week just in case you need it. I mean, this is a primary podcast because, you know, I do housekeeping. Or, you know, if you don't like the intros, or you say, geez, I want to be more disoriented than just, you know, you say, geez, check that out. And if you use an iPhone or iTunes, it's sleeptomepodcast.com/strange. And if you use an Android phone, it's sleeptomepodcast.com/strangeandroid. And we're just kicking off that show. So if you can do me a huge favor and review and rate that on iTunes, if you do sign up, that would be excellent for that. I want to thank Megan for the emails. I want to thank over on Twitter, Flighty Broad, Graham, Mark, Sandy, Eve, Alex, Eli for the support. Over on Facebook, Justin, Caleb, Kristen, Laura, Julie, Carrie, Elizabeth, GP, and then I thank Robin and Molly for the comments. I want to thank all of you that reached out to me over the past 2 weeks with words of encouragement or inspiration. And I honestly am taking it all to heart, and thank you so much. And I think that's it. That's all I have here. I don't think there was any new iTunes reviews. If you want to review the podcast, sleepwithmepodcast.com/iTunes, and that's it. All right, so you're starting off talking about episode 13 of Metastasis, B.U. Boo. And it starts off with Jose standing. I said, are those Air Jordans? He's tapping his foot so he couldn't help but know. And I said, he looks like he's wearing Air Jordans. He also looks worried. He's also wearing a Grim Reaper t-shirt. There's some sort of a friendly cartoon-like beetle that says, you know, kind of like Beetle Bailey. Beetle Bailey may have been a human. Actually, I'm pretty sure he was a human, but this is like a beetle that says, hey, Jose. And then Sweaty Mohawk shows up, whose name on this show I can never remember, but he's Sweaty Mohawk to me. He'll always be. And don't shirt. I think that's what it is. Sweaty Mohawk shows up, don't shirt, or don't something, S-H, or something, and then he shows a note to Jose. Jose can't really read it, understand it, or something. And I also put that this scene, or the parts of the early part of the scene especially, they look really good in HD. And so I don't know if they got a little bit more money for this episode or I was just paying a little more attention, but there's a couple other close-ups in this episode where I said, wow, did they have more money to make? Did they get a little bit more money for production or something? It looked really good. And this Metastasis already looked good, so it's not like it was, so I don't know. But then Sweaty Mohawk's kind of laughing at Jose. I said, is he not taking him serious? And then Jose's like, all right, I'll deal with things. He gets high. He's waiting. He's watching. He's watching a garage. Then he gets ready. Is that what I put? Garage? And then the open of the show comes, and then Jose's at a gate. It's locked. He goes over. He drops his deadbolt, which I said, geez, he's not going to be locksmithing anything without that. But then I guess he dropped it on purpose. At first, I thought it was like that would have been a spoiler, me telling you that now. But then he throws it over, and then there's some graffiti on the door. And maybe I'll remember to take a screenshot of it, but it's not written in English or Spanish, but symbols. But it looks a little bit like it says Oshkosh, and I'm not joking here. I got a K-A-S-H, it looks like, and maybe a V-A, which could be, you know, short for Osh. Oshkosh. And then Jose knocks on the door, just like a cop would. He yells. And then a woman or, like, a girl in a red Girl Scout-looking outfit comes and hands him a flyer. And that was, like, uncomfortable because Jose was, like, acting like he was a cop or a burglar. Then he knocks again, the door opens, the house is full of junk, a giant, one of those giant water bottles that you'd have on a, you know, a soccer ball. And at first he's like, well, no one's home, but then a little kid's there, a slightly older than a toddler, in his PJs, he's watching a TV show about cooking with tomato paste, I think. I said, is that how to make tomato paste? Is that they cooking with tomato paste? And the kid's like, you know, like, man, this is a repeat. And the Jose's kind of grilling. He's like, hey, is anybody home? And the kid kind of ignores him, a little bit catatonic, the kid is. And then Jose tries to chase. He says, you don't want to watch this about tomato paste, especially if it's a repeat. Spoiler, they're making a tomato-based sauce. And the kid's like, thanks for nothing, man. But it ends up, that's you. And then Jose's like, oh, it's the only channel that works. And the kid's like, oh. That part didn't happen with anything about the tomato. There was tomato paste, though. Then we're at Walt's. Cielo comes home. She sighs. She listens to messages answering machine. That was something that used to take voicemails, a separate unit you needed. And she's got one bag of groceries. It looks like really giant lemons. And a call comes in. It's Marcella. Marcella calls, starts to leave, she starts to leave a message for Walt. Cielo talks to her. Something about a lot of plata money, plata stacks. And then we have a back and forth between them where Marcella's kind of listening. And I noticed, I said, why do rich people always, like, listen to phone calls from second-floor balconies? Because Marcella's, like, standing on the second-floor balcony of her house. And she's got one of those balconies that looks down at the great, they usually call it the great room a lot of times, I think. But, you know, what's up with that? You know, why are you guys always talking? She's, like, leaning out over the balcony. It didn't look comfortable. If I was rich, I'd be in, like, my zero-gravity chair, like Jesse was talking about. Or my couch, you know, feeding grapes to my, you know, having someone pay to feed me grapes, or a volunteer, or an intern. And drinking grape soda, for sure, as somebody joked, you know, but for sure. I mean, unless I needed, you know, unless I was rich because I needed, and I'd say, well, no more grape soda yet because, you know, I need the money maker, whatever that would be. Because grape soda, whatever your money maker is, if it's your body, your brain, your heart, your energy, you know, grape soda's not good for any of that, unfortunately. You know, the only money maker it is for, well, I don't even think grape soda's a profit center for soda companies. So just a distraction maker. So actually it'd be perfect for this podcast, grape soda, the official soda of this podcast, grape soda. Thank you. I want to say a special thanks to grape soda for making this episode possible. That turns out, this just in, grape soda caused a sleepless night. So, too bad I took, I didn't take any money from grape soda. But maybe one day, you know. But anyway, rich people, second floor balconies. But Cielo keeps thanking her, but saying, hey, don't say anything. I just want to talk. And then Marcel's like, hey, maybe we should grab coffee. Then Walt's at school. He's back teaching. He's bald. There was a kid that looked like a bird-like student, male student, I think. I thought we were going to come back to him, but that was the only note I had on him. Like, kids are nodding while Walt's talking. Bird-like kid is chewing, not chewing on a pen cap. Maybe that was another kid, but he had the pen cap in his mouth. Walt strolls the classroom, goes over to the periodic table, starts talking about carbon. And I said, have those guys been calling me a cabron or carbon the whole time? I don't know. Because they're pronounced differently. Principal shows up and Walt kind of talks about her being her carbon makeup. I mean, her, you know, physical makeup, not on her being a carbon-based, you know, life form. And she watches and listens, and Walt starts talking about Tracy Hall. He writes that on the board. The students are really paying attention. There's nice close-ups of Walt here again where I'm like, oh, was it, did the budget go up? Or was I just watching, you know, I changed internet service providers. That honestly could be it, that I'm getting a better signal, even though it's still both were through the Ethernet, but it could be that simple. But Walt is all serious. The principal is like, why, Kay? Where's he going with this? And the students just stare, and then Walt starts talking about money and carbon. He's really irritable. Class ends. Yeah, the principal's like, hey, can we talk? She kind of checks in on him. I think she says she likes his bald head look. And then something gets said in the bad music, like the bad news music starts playing. And she looks away from him. Walt clasps his hands, but I couldn't figure it out. But then it seemed like it ended well. Then we have a dude on his skateboard. He says, ciao, Morgan, I think that's it. And Walt Jr. laugh, and then Walt's acting all passive-aggressive. He's got a nice black jacket on, Walt Sr. does. And then there's a flyer on Walt's car, and he grabbed it real quick. I said, does someone know his secret? Is this some sort of mystery I forgot about? And then we have Jose Miguel with the kid. They're eating. Jose tries to connect with the kid, plays peekaboo. He gets a laugh. Then the parents come home. Jose busts them. He says, hey, guys, you're in trouble. You know, we need to talk about your parenting and the fact that you borrowed some money from Sweaty Mohawk without his permission. Then we have Walt Morgan in their car. They're talking. Walt's making some sort of point about his cabeza or something, and Morgan's not sure. And then all of a sudden he likes the idea. And they get home. There's a real nice car in the driveway. And then there's on there, there's a Lab Day Atomic sticker. And we're like, oh. And Cielo and Marcel are inside, and Cielo introduces Morgan, the former Walt Jr. And Walt is really acting up a storm. And then she's like, hey, you don't look bad. And then Walt Jr. wants to thank her, really big-hearted. And then Cielo even gets more heartfelt. And then Marcel's like, I got to get the hell out of here. I said, I got to go radar, maybe? I don't know why I wrote that. And then Walt tries to follow her. That triggers Cielo's radar. She's like, what? But Walt runs after Marcella. And then Walt tries to, like, lay some, like, stay calm level shit on her. Like, total BS. It starts raining and she drives off. Then we have Jose with the addicts, the parents who are, and he's saying, Kayase. And then he says, you take off your shoes. Let me take these drugs off your hands so you don't do them. And they're like, well, we smoked all the drugs we borrowed from Sweaty Mohawk. And he's like, I don't believe it. And they're all laughing. And there's like these crazy close-ups of these people and cackling of the woman. And it was like, I put Terry Gilliam level of cackling. So if that kind of stuff bothers you, I wouldn't rewatch this part of the episode. Like extreme, strange laughing, like almost like a Terry Gilliam movie. I just said, Jesus, this is like Terry Gilliam. I said to myself, this laughing reminds me of the strange laughing of a Terry Gilliam movie is what I said, like when I was thinking about the laughing. And I said, what is this? I said, oh, Terry Gilliam laughing. You know, it just really overdid that, but. Then they search everything. They blame each other. There's a lot of comedy here in Breaking Bad and the metastasis between this couple. The kid comes out, Espacio, and then all of a sudden they're like, hey, we got an ATM here. We're trying to get it open. We accidentally locked our own money in there. Strangest thing. And then we have more close-ups of the woman, Terry Gilliam style. And then we see, you know, where, you know, how their money got stuck in the ATM, where that happened. And then the male is trying to break into it with a sledgehammer. And then him and his wife or his girlfriend, they can't get along. Jose's just not happy about this kid. He's like, geez, you guys can't. You're addicted. You can't even keep your money out of ATM. You're supposed to get money out of the ATM, not put it in there. He says, Abra say. He talks about food, you know, getting this kid some, you know, more nutritious food. And then Jose's like, I'll get your money out of the ATM. So he takes over, tries to break in. Time passes. And then this was a disorienting episode because we're at a white, and the next episode is like a white tablecloth restaurant with a double-decker bus. But there's a double-decker bus and Walt and Marcella are eating there. But Walt has the same jacket on as before. But I said, is this a flashback? Or is this present day? Are they in France? Are they in London? But she, and also she was wearing, and I, this is my exact wording, she has a strange rich person jacket on. It was a strange one. It had some sort of fake, it was a weirdest jacket. Only, and I'll talk more about it, but it was the only rich person could wear it. Probably cost a year's salary for most of us. There's also some kind of jazz porny music playing. And then I put her jacket as, I put fezzy neck. It probably meant fuzzy neck, but almost like an animal fur. But it was also a jean jacket, and then also had, like, these strange letters in some different color jean stripe, a J-E-R-E. And then she was also wearing a shirt sweater that had fishes and dragonflies on it. But that was the least, you know, that was the least of her problems. She's rich, you know, clothes aren't her problem, Walt's her problem. And she, you know, Walt's like, this isn't your problem. She's like, it is my problem, you know. And she wipes a tear away. They talk. She gets serious. And she's saying, how is this not my problem? And Walt gets very venomous and serious. Gracias, verdad, gracias. And then Walt ends the real conversation. However he ends it, he's really cross. It doesn't end well. And then we're back with Jose. I notice he's got a real nice jacket on, too. So just back of his jacket, but sweet back of jacket. But then the mom gets a drop on Jose. She says, you should take a nap, Jose, while he's playing with the kid. And then Jose falls asleep, and then she's yelling at him. But he's like, you know what? I'm so tired. You're right. I'm going right to sleep. Then we're back at Walt's house. He cracks open a beer. He's thinking. He's sipping beer. Cielo's watching him. She's like, buenas noches. And she's like, hey, what's up? And Walt's drinking Nevada beer, I put. And then Cielo seemed to either know something or had an old jealousy. I couldn't figure that out. And then she wants to know something. She seems exasperated as Walt tries to give her a simple explanation. I also started to do some kitchen analysis. They have three nice pieces of wall art in there. Real nice lamp. I don't know if I got any more notes on that, but whatever Walt says to her, Cielo says no. And she doesn't believe it. And then even more attacks on rich people, it seemed like. She's like, what's up with rich people? Because rich people are all like, what? And then she's like, wait, are they not going to give us any more money? She seems sad. And Walt's kind of playing this hero victim role. He's really good at that, you know, working all those angles. And then we're at with Jose. He wakes up and the guy, the husband, he's like sawing and drilling the ATM machine. Jose's deadbolt's on the floor. He's like, hey, I could use this to, it's a magic deadbolt to get me and the kid out of here. But then the mom, she's an addict. She says, you know what? I don't care about any sense. I just want some more drugs. And then all of a sudden, you know, Jose says, well, the ATM says, hey, I'll give everybody money. If Jose leaves the kid, ideally he'll get help from the CPS, the addicts will get help. And the ATM seems to say, money solves all these problems. Don't worry about it. Call the proper authorities, take the money. Everything's going to be fine. And Jose says, thank you, ATM. And the ATM says, I sat on your friend, but that'll be fine. Here's some more money. Get this lady some help. Get the kid into some, you know, loving, supportive situation. And Jose, we'll need you probably for the next episode. So hit the road. And Jose says, what does ATM stand for? Loving money machine. And ATM says, don't think about it so much, buddy, and have a good one. And so Jose takes the money, and then ATM says, but you don't want anybody to know you were here because, you know, they'll say, so cover, you know, get rid of your fingerprints first. So Jose does that, covers his tracks, calls 911, says, hey, I got a magic ATM, a couple of people that need some loving support. And they say, no problem, loving support squad on the way. And they say, you're so neighborly. And Jose Miguel says that, you know, that's what I do. And then they say, hey, leave the kid outside so we can give him a hug first. And so Jose takes the kid outside. He says, hey, buddy, I'm going to play peekaboo here for a minute, and then the police are going to come and take you someplace nicer. And he rolls out. I think Jose says, hey, it's going to be okay. And the kid looks after Jose as he goes out. And I noticed he had a nice sky and clouds blanket, and that was the last image, sky and clouds in a blanket. So that's a first metastasis run-through. Thanks. All right, so we're talking about Breaking Bad, Peekaboo, Season 2, Episode 6 already. Wow, we're really moving. But it opens with a shot of Jesse. He's smoking. There's a loud, very atmospheric, as always. A loud train going by. There's a shot from the ground. Jesse's standing above us. There's a stop sign over his shoulder. Utility poles and utility lines. And then there's a little buggy poo. And a nice bug, because makes Jesse smile, and I'm serious. He looks down, he smiles. I think he even reaches out to the bug, but then Skinny Pete shows up, and Skinny Pete does not like bugs. And he says, Bugs, I'm not a Buddhist. My name's Skinny Pete. You're going to the bug farm in the sky. And then Jesse's like, he says, yeah, I found, and Jesse's trying to read Skinny Pete's writing. He says, this is a 5 or an S? And then he's like, yeah, 5S. And then Jesse's like, dude, you spelled street wrong. And he spelled it street. I guess that makes sense. Street. And Skinny Pete's like, I can't be about spelling and shit. I'm a drug dealer. And you notice they both had on knit caps. And then they talk about the guy's nickname. That's pretty funny. You should watch it, though, because he has a pretty dirty nickname. And Jesse's surprised by how, and he's like, you get this guy with this weak nickname, like, stole some drugs from you? And Skinny Pete's like, you know, normally I would handle this myself, man, but I'm on probation. And then Jesse's in his car at the next scene. He's smoking, getting ready to go. He goes to the house that's covered in some graffiti, but pretty artistic. Or semi-artistic, not art, but not just like graffiti that a bored artist or madman might do. And Jesse knocks on the door. He's practicing his, you know, his being, what do you call it? What do they call that? That I can't do assertive. He's saying, I'm going to be assertive today. But Jesse's pretty high, it seemed like, too. And then a male woman shows up. And he's blocking the mailbox. Now, this male woman probably, let's see what my exact notes, super cheery, nice male woman. But she was probably the one of the nicest male women I've ever seen. She says, honey, you're blocking the mailbox. And Jesse says, sorry. And she says, it's going to be a nice day. And Jesse, this line just stuck out. He says, yeah, high 70s. That was so Aaron Paul, Jesse, that he would, like, no one says, oh, yeah, it's going to be a nice day. Yeah, high 70s. But then Jesse goes in through a window. He falls down. He found a prosthetic leg and a bunch of inhalers. He's waiting around. He meets this kid that lives there, a real nice kid who turns on like a shopping channel, over-the-air shopping channels, which there is still, you know. I thought maybe since I got rid of cable, I've been meaning to do an episode about over-the-air TV. But there's a more, you say, geez, you're not going to miss the infomercials if you get rid of cable, I'll tell you that. I also noticed the couch was held together with duct tape in parts. And I said, well, that's some good thinking, whoever did that. On the shopping channel, they were having a steel knockout sale. And then Jesse's like, hey, kid, what's your name? And he says, my name's Diesel. And he goes, don't you want to watch something else? But then, like we said, and he goes to change the channel. It's the only channel that works. But Jesse's like, don't you want something like Mr. Rogers? And then we have, it's Walt's first day back. Skyler's listening to a message from Marie. Marie's so funny. She's like, hey, just want to wish Walt a good day back. We'll be thinking about him teaching valences and covalences. Okay, that's all I remember. And I think Skyler was unpacking groceries, and then the next message is Gretchen. But then the next call that comes in is Gretchen Schwartz, and she's like, hey, I just got down from Santa Fe, hoping to see you all. And Walt's cell phone doesn't work, and Skyler picks up, and Skyler starts to explain everything to her, but of course this is part of Walt's grift, so Skyler's speechless Gretchen's speechless as Skyler starts to thank her for everything. Because Skyler's like, sorry, I've been putting this off. I've been meaning to call you and thank you. I just didn't know what to say. And Gretchen's trying to drive her car. Skyler's just like, geez, you really saved us. And then she has this cute moment. And the way she says it and the way it's written or that she came up with. I just want to finally say thank you. Anyway, end of speech. I can't even do it how she did it, but it was great. And then Gretchen's like, Jesus, what if I come see you right now? Let's hang out. We got to catch up. And then the next scene is Walt teaching. He's talking about stuff that's way beyond me. Polyenes, I call it. Trienes, dual something. And Walt even says, Jesus, enough to make your head spin. But he goes, just keep one element in mind, carbon. That's the center of it all. Without carbon, there's no life, no universe. Carbon. And then the principal comes in and he says, carbon is carbon. And he says something about a diamond being carbon and the man who invented diamonds. And he goes, that's got your attention, right? The man who invented diamonds, Tracy Hall. Dr. Tracy, he came up with a way to make synthetic diamonds. And then another theme of the show comes through and the episode, Walt's motivations via teaching. Because he says, geez, these synthetic diamonds get used in everything. It's $1 billion. And, you know, he worked for GE and they screwed him. You know, they made an incalculable amount of money. And they gave him a $10 savings bond. And Carmen's face, Carmen's, she says, I don't know, this is a little bit out there. But then Walt's like, say carbon paper to a carbon man for making something out of carbon. And then Carmen and Walt have a meeting. And this always confused me in this series, this particular meeting, maybe because I have a crush on Carmen. So you just find her very beautiful. and attractive, but she also seemed very caring. But I couldn't, I remember seeing this scene a couple times and just not understanding the motive, the subtext of it. But she says, it's good to get your back, Walt. You're looking great. He's like, well, skinny, which that's not bad. And the hair, but she's like, it looks good. And she's like, you're feeling good? And he's like, I'm glad to be back. And she's like, we're happy too. And then she gets vulnerable, but I didn't understand the vulnerable. She says, well, it's just good. It's great. And he's like, well, she's like, you can talk to me about anything, Walt. And he's like, I'm detecting something else. She's like, you could talk to me about anything, anytime, completely confidential. And I never could read this. And maybe it's because I was drunk a lot of the time watching this. So maybe something happens later that I missed. But I couldn't figure out if she knew something, if she felt something for Walt, if she just, you know, related to his position and she was just a really caring person. But it was that extra moment where Walt detects, he says, something's going on here. And I'm not saying romantic, but it could, I mean, I guess that's where I was thinking, just because I'm like, oh, Carmen's beautiful. It could be something, you know, plot related or like Skyler's reaching out to Walt, his last chance to say, just tell me what's going on. Maybe she's trying to save Walt. I don't know, but and I don't know if it ever gets paid off. Or it was one of those things that they had an idea, and then it. But who knows? But it's just some of the scene that always stuck out to me. So I just had to talk about it a little bit there. But then after that meeting, we have Walt and Flynn walking over. It's like, yo, Flynn. And then Walt finds the picture of him on his windshield. It says, "I'm missing my pants. I'm buck naked or something." He's yelling. And we have this weird thing between Walt Jr., Flynn, and where Walt just is talks about what he would do if he knew who, you know, he's like, I think I know. And he just seems a little bit darker. And he says, what do you say we get the kid who did this? And Walt Jr. first, he's like, and then Walt's like, no, I'm just kidding. What do you say? And he's like, oh, yeah. He goes, just like in the movies, right? And then we have, that scene comes after. I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. We have Jesse and the kid eating a fluff sandwich, and Jesse starts playing peekaboo with him. And then the parents get home, and Jesse says, hey, stay in your room. I gotta go deal with your parents. I gotta talk, you know, I've had some assertiveness training, because, you know, I had to deal with this Donald Trump-like character who's running for president, Tuco, but he went to live on a farm, so don't worry, but I had to learn some assertiveness. And I still have more to learn, but I'm gonna practice on your folks. And he asks them to be quiet with strong language. There's a dog barking. Then we have Walt and Flynn talking about the suspects or old Western. They get home, and there's a Bentley, I think, or I thought I wrote it down, but one of those real, you know, the cars that you know no one buys except for, you know, maybe celebrities, like cars that are just unbelievably expensive. I don't think it's a Bentley though. I think it's I'll think of it. It is one of those ones. I think on Entourage they got them on the show back in the day. But it says gray matter on the license plate, or MTR. And then Flynn goes in, and Skyler says, hey, yeah, this is Flynn, Miss Schwartz. And she goes, oh, it's so nice to meet you. And she goes, oh, Walt, what a surprise. You're looking good. Bald head's a shocker. He goes, yeah, it was. Or Scott says, yeah, it was for me. And then I love, she says, you have a very good shaped head, Walt. And I said, geez, this is the kind of thing uncomfortable people say, but that's brilliant. You have a good shaped head. She said, geez, no wonder she works at Gray Matter. And I'm not sure if she patted him on the head for luck, or I imagine that or something. And then Walt Jr., Flynn, it gives her a really heartfelt thank you, and there's no way to repay them. And Gretchen's just trying to be all smiles, but she's like, I got to get out of here because this is super uncomfortable. And Skyler's like, come back for dinner, bring Elliot for sure. And then, well, he doesn't walk out of the car at first, but then he's like, oh, you know what, I think I gotta tell her something. Which I think is delayed, maybe Skylar was like, what? And he's like, hey. Oh, I think she says, hey yourself, so coolly. And then she just drives off. She says, hey yourself. And then he tries to talk, but she's like, I'm out. And then they have a shot of the big sky, which was gorgeous. And then we have another comedic, dark comedy scene with Jesse and the kid's parents, where Jesse's Diesel or whatever. He's like, hey, I need my money. And the guy's like, well, I bumped my head. It hurts. I'm seeing double. And they're talking about what you do in case of a concussion. And Jesse searches them. He's like, I told you. He goes, the guy goes, I told you, Diesel, we don't have anything. And Jesse's like, that's not possible. So he searches everywhere. And then he finds, one of them has one thing, another has another. And they go, what, division of labor? I thought they said, geez, one person's holding uppers, one person's the downers. But Jesse's like, well, where's the rest of my stuff? And then he's like, I'm not joking around. This is a serious situation. And Jesse also says something like, hey, I'm so serious. Something about his cranial. Oh, something about a cranial. That was hilarious. I forgot what that was. Oh, the guy goes, I got a headache. It's turning cranial. And Jesse goes, I'll give you a cranial. But this writing is just so good. So then he's like, hey, come out in the back. And Jesse's like, I'm going to do intervention here if you don't give me my money. No more drugs ever. And he's like, yeah, we got it out here. And he goes, man, we got this ATM. He goes, she's like an ant, as he's referring to his girlfriend. Well, he's like, she can lift 100 times her own weight. And the guy's like, Jesse's like, this is my bank. He goes, don't worry, it's FIDC insured, a victimless crime. And he's like, we got this out of a barn, smooth as silk. And he was like, we roll like the breeze. And we know it's like, Jesus, this guy's not always telling the truth. And then the guy's trying to get into the ATM. And he's like, I'm about to get in. And Jesse's like, I thought you knew what you were doing. He's like, well, I've gotten six, but I've never gotten one open. This is our lucky number 7. And then Jesse gives some parenting tips. He's like, where's the kids? They're like, oh, we're around. He's around the house. And he's like, you got to give him some good food and a bath. And put some baby powder on him. That was great. And get him a decent TV show. And, mom's like, well, geez, I'm an addict, And Jesse's like, well, that still doesn't cut it. And then the next scene is this white tablecloth restaurant, very fancy lunch spot with Walt and Gretchen. And the camera moves slowly across the restaurant to get to their table. And it's a nice back and forth. Because Walt's like, did you tell Elliot? She's like, not yet. And he's like, what does that mean? Well, I'm going to decide. And then, Walt's like, well, let me tell you my side of the story. This is a bad, unfortunate thing. I'm sorry. And she's like, well, tell me why. He's like, well, that's not the issue. And she's like, well, why'd you lie to us? And he's like, I didn't lie. And she's like, well, you said your insurance, and then you told them you were paying for it. And he goes, this isn't an issue that concerns you, Gretchen. And she goes, excuse me? Yeah, it concerns me. She goes, you involved me in your lies. And, it was a big lie. They thought, I helped when I didn't. And Walt's like, I'll take care of it. And, this is my business. And she's like, again, you need to explain this to me. This keeps happening to Walt. Which I think is interesting as an audience member on her second time around, like where everybody's trying to understand. And I guess we as the audience are trying to understand too, where these characters are saying, hey, well, help me understand what the hell's going on here. And they're talking about the actual action. We're also trying to figure out what the hell's going on in this guy's brain, He's breaking bad. But Walt's like, I'm going to explain the whole thing to my family. She's like, well, explain it to me. And he's like, I only owe you an apology, and I apologize. I'll say it again. I have now apologized twice. Sorry. Sorry again. That's three. And she's like, I just don't understand. We offered to pay for it, no strings attached. And then you say no, but then create a why involving us. And now you're saying that it's not my business. And Walt's like, yep. And she says, what happened to you, Walt? And Walt, he says, whoa, excuse me, magic checkbook. Jesus, I should just beg you for charity. He goes, you and Elliot cut me out. And she goes, that can't be how you see it. And he goes, that was my research that you guys got rich off of. And she goes, no, I can't believe that. And he goes, oh, you're so innocent. And she goes, you're the one who ditched me. He goes, oh, so innocent, sweet, and blah, blah, blah. And she goes, you left on the 4th of July. You wouldn't talk to me, and you broke out of there. And he goes, oh, so you build an entire, but you still stole my research, and then she goes, you abandoned us, me and Elliot. And then Walt cuts it deep. He says, you're just a poor little rich girl, you're getting richer. And she cuts right back at Walt's weak spot. She says, you know what, I feel sorry for you, Walt. And he says, fuck you. And the episode, you say, geez, that was intense. That was good. And then it gets more delicious, the Walt and Gretchen thing. But then we get back with Jesse and the mom, and Jesse still won't let it drop, and they start shaming. You don't shame a mother. Like, if you don't want, you can, but just be prepared for the consequences. And she takes action. She says, Jesse, you need to take a nap. And he says, oh, and she says, I have a magic nap spell here, with spell wand. And she says, take a nap. And he takes a nap. And she yells at him. And I think that was during a peekaboo session. And then we're back in Walt's at home. He's drinking a beer. Skylar comes in. And it is a great scene from beginning to end, because she says, should I ask you where I've been? I guess we're beyond that now. She goes, Gretchen called. We got to talk. And Walt's like, oh, boy, say it. And then it's like the grift, a double grift or whatever. She says, they're cutting off the money. And Walt's like, what? And she says, she didn't say anything. Or she just said, we can't keep paying for Walt's treatment. And you can feel Walt concocting the lies. Because she says, oh, geez, that's it. She sounded apologetic and quick and got off the phone. And Scott was like, I was stunned, but I called her. She wouldn't answer. She goes, so what the hell happened? Everything seemed fine today. And then you talk to her in the driveway, and now the money's gone. And Walt says, well, that's where I'm coming home from. I went out to talk to them, her and Elliot. And she was trying to tell us, but she could, that they're broke. He goes, and she's like, Scott's like, what? He's like, rich people, he says they're cash poor. And they're leveraging or something. And Scott's like, no. And he's like, oh, yeah. He goes, this is back in, right before, or right after, so this is during the big depression we had right before Obama became president. I guess, I don't know, or it's taking place then. And Scott was like, I wish you would have just told me. And he goes, well, they're prideful people. Oh, Walt, so delicious. And Walt says, we're going to make it, don't worry. And then Skyler says, and she still drives a Bentley. That was the name of the car, Bentley. And Walt says, keeping up appearances. Oh, I also forgot, when they sat down to talk, they sat on the couch with the Afghan. Two different color browns and a red and a tan were the colors there. And I just love that it was how good Walt, that he was had. And when he realized, he goes, huh. And then he sat back and he tapped his right thigh as he was thinking of lies to tell Skylar. But It was just great. He's like, huh. And then we're back with Jesse in the ATM, and you know, some stuff happens at the house. And Jesse says, well, she said, let me take the money out of the ATM and go. And he says, let me take care of the, he goes, let me set this kid up. He goes, hey, kid, come outside. He goes, your mom and dad, you know, they need some medical assistance to get off these drugs. And you should probably be, you know, he goes, just stay here. The authorities are going to come and take good care of you, I hope. And he says, you have a good rest of your life, kid. And then the kid, you know, waits for the authorities to come and rescue him. And Jesse heads off into the night, a little bit like a hero, I guess. At least in this case, it came up, things worked out semi-decent for Jesse. That was the end of the episode. All right, next up is a red pen run through. Mostly words, but a few notes. Entonces, déjeme, luego, disque, okay, that was the nickname of the guy in Spanish or Colombia. He says, de un poque a ver, manda. I know it suggests Jose Miguel was smoking with a big lighter, a disposable lighter, but not a Bic, like one of those bigger, like a Zippo size one. I know I've seen those before, but I don't know what brand they are. With some designs on it. I didn't write down, but I also noticed he had a steering wheel cover on his car. And it was one of those ones with the studs for his and her pleasure, driving pleasure. That joke didn't work. And then again, I said the Oshkosh, it says on the door, it said triangle K, triangle SH. Which to me is some sort of a pictogram for Oshkosh. And came a piso no, la vie, lo mismo, el bien, baconcito, besitos, pensando que peña, de dolor de cabeza. Walt in his classroom made a big periodic table, huge. And to confirm what I said earlier, there was a bird-like student with his pen in his mouth, or just his pen cap. Sigue Carmen Escarbon. Diamantes for diamonds, Las Brocas, que tal. Walt hates the injustice, completamente injusto. Nosotros bastamante. Bastante, pasa algo, cualquier, Pirata Morgan, that's what Walt says about Walt Jr.'s new name, Pirata the Pirate Morgan, ben vamos, Cayo Pirobos Alacanes, quien sabe conocerte, que gusta verte, no te vas mal, tu bolso, claro que sí, mientras, que va a decir que se pare, bolsillos de atrás, suavena, that's some suave, carajo, le da asco, ahí falta despacio, cobran ayudo, testigos, that might be testicles, pasando, no va a poder, no me diga para, hoyo, abrace, esto, sirve para más que meterle, droga, compele, comida, cubo. I looked that up. That's slang for something, but I don't remember what it's slang for. I think, like, what's up, but I'm not positive. Up late or something, because then I noticed there's a TV channel over the air that has that same name. We'll figure it out, though, later. Exactamente, eso justo, lo siento mucho, dieste ellos, conmovida debo disculpa iban tres, I think that's what it's saying, I apologize three times. Orgulo, that was interesting, mentria, tu no eres así decirle, siento mucho que estés así, me das lástima, vente a la mierda. That's what Walt says to her at the end. Vente a la mierda. Then we get a little hagale, levantarse. Walt Fridge, I wrote here. It's a clean silver. There's a J and a W. Those, you know, little kids used to play with those magnets, letter magnets. The J is green, the W is blue. Over further away from where Walt was standing, there was a coral like U or a C. There's a bunny magnet that looked a little bit like a sticker. An apple, like a three-dimensional apple and three-dimensional shoe, maybe. Beer opener, bottle opener. Circle accent tiles around the kitchen, like with interesting circle accent tiles. And then I was studying the art, the piece art number one, the centerpiece is white with pink flowers off center. Possible blossoms, because art number three to the right has more pink flowers and a tree branch. And those two pieces of art, they look like some sort of stitched art or, you know, whatever that's called, cross-stitching or something. And my guess is cherry or apple blossoms. They have brown frames, different tone to the brown frames, but pretty close. And then they have, like, whatever that mat's called. You got to pay extra for that normally. And that's how you know it's, like, decent art. Oh, you got a frame and that extra square shit. That's some fucking art you got now. You must have paid money for that and not, print it out on your, like I do, print stuff out of my printer. Even now at my age, I like to decorate with stuff printed or, you know, print a photo at Walgreens. Or I'll just hang up some art that I got on National Geographic. So those mat things I know are important. And then the other piece of art, the left art, that I call art piece number two. Blanco House Kitchen Art number two. It's in a gray frame. It's a different style. Very busier than the other two. Looks like there could be something bright colored on their birds, but it's divided by a gray river rock or mass. So we'll be on the lookout to see, you know, figure out more about that. But, you know, that's a little bit about their kitchen art. But that's about it about their art for now. Para el teco. Subio, Nebulo, or something, Sarasu Madre, Pedirle, at some point when Jose Miguel's figuring out stuff at the house, there's a strange, like, few second slow-mo, like almost a strobe effect. It was for effect, but I said, well, it's a strange effect. Hopefully I'm looking up the words. I'll look up the notes, the bills, paper money at Columbia. Jose gets on a red phone. He says, auxilio, por favor. And then Tapate and Trentor Mejor. And that's the end of the red pen run through. Thanks. Hey, it's time for our language learning portion. Before we get into the words, I've been meaning to add some new vowel, proper pronunciation of vowels. Alexandra's been emailed me about how to do that. And the first one we've been trying to learn is O, which is just O, where you cut it off. O. And I figured we'd try to learn A and E, because I figured, well, geez, I'm behind, you know, 13 episodes, one vowel. You know, so A, the vowel A is ah, I believe. Like, aha. But just cut out, like, ah. So just the first part of aha, ah. And then the vowel E, it looks like, is like, almost like A, eh. So we'll see how that goes. And you know, anybody, if I'm doing it wrong, feel free, I'm not being sarcastic, feel free to correct me. I want to learn and help people learn, you know, while helping people sleep. So let's just start it off right here with, entonces. Maybe I should just stick with the beginning of the words because, for now, get to the first vowel. Let's see, shoot for the first A, E, or O, right? How's that sound? That's so, entonces, and entonces, déjeme, déjeme, let me, déjeme, luego, luego, later, dude, luego, disque, supposedly, supposedly I'm supposed to be learning some Spanish here, disque. Aver, we know, we should, I should have known that, but I still had to, I said, no, I don't know, let's see, because there's aver, a roborone, which doesn't sound like a let's see, a roborone, so maybe aver means something different in different situations, but this situation, Google Translate said it means let's see, which is funny, you'll see, aver, what aver means, let's see what aver means, aver. Aver on first, aver, is aver on first, that's why I'm looking, aver, I'm trying to figure that out, if aver's on first, you want to know who's on first, aver, so do you want to see who's on first, see, that would be another way to learn Spanish, I wonder, who has the rights to some of that old comedy stuff? We could do that in Spanish. Because it wasn't that hilarious and full education there. Ver, manda commands. Que me piso, no. I tread on me, not. Don't tread on me. Maybe it means don't tread on I. No, that would be no que me piso. I thought K was what, though? Again, we're only dealing with one of the biggest, you know, it's Google Translate, but it's not Google. This isn't a human being. Lobby. I saw. Lo mismo, the same. How's Scooter Spanish? Lo mismo. Poquito, improvianto. But mostly lo mismo. Because he already forgot to do the A's and the E's. Alguien, alguien. There you go, buddy. Somebody is listening. Alguien, baconcito. Baconcito. That means some. That's slang for like little buddy, little brother, little cool guy. I think. Besitos. How about you give me some kisses? For trying to pronounce these words right, huh, maiden? Besitos. Passando, she's thinking about it, even though she's a goddess and she's not here for real. You know, she's up there in the seventh heaven or wherever the gods old and new hang out during the between seasons. Passando, she's thinking about it. Pensando, actually. Pensando. Que pena. Oh, what a pity, Scooter. Yeah, if you only knew the half of it, da dolor de cabeza. Da dolor de cabeza. It's a headache. Sigue, you follow? You follow what I'm saying, Sigue? Diamante, diamonds, forever. Like diamonds in diamantes in the cielo. Your baconcito like diamantes in the cielo. Ooh, e tu yo. A little bit is, you know, that's just, you think about it, in 20 or 30 episodes, I'll be able to do that. And you'll say, well, Mondo is the same. Is that right? Did I use Mondo correctly, at least? I don't know, I can't find my spot, but I say Las Brocas, it's like bits, like little bits of, little bits of wisdom. Que tal, what's up, how are you, how you doing? Completamente injusto, completely unfair. completely mispronunciated. Bustamante? No idea. I used to work with a Mr. Bustamante a long time ago, Mr. Bustamante. But that's Bustamante there. Bustamante. Is that right? Like pa sa a go. Pa sa a go. That means something happens, but if you're listening to the podcast, you're like, well, something happens. Scooter. Calquier, anyone? Anyone, any. That's just any, though. Calquier. Pirata Morgan, Pirate Morgan. Ben Bamos, come, let. Come, ladies, come, ladies. There's a little bit about something. I learned some Spanish lately. Ben Bamos. Cayo, it says K. Pirobos, let's look that one up live here. Pirobos. Okay, according to this form over here, it means it's a bad word. Possibly against someone's sexual orientation or race. So it looks like it is a degrading term. So we'll try to avoid that one. Well, but now I'm just opening new tabs here. So we learned, I guess, there's egg on my face. But, you know, I didn't know, and Google Translate didn't know. So, what about this? Alacranes, scorpion. I feel like I have scorpions in my pride now. Alacranes. Alacranes. Quien sabe? Who knows, man? It was a mistake. Who knows? Quien sabe? Well, who knows how many times I said it before I looked it up? Well, you know. Because every time I saw the word, I thought of that actress, Piper Perobo or something was her name, right? She was in a couple rom-coms. You know who I mean? I do know who you mean. And I don't know if that's her name, but, you know, can we move on? Sure. Quien sabe, who knows? Conocerte, Piper. It's nice to meet you. Conocerte. Que gusta verte, they like to see, you know, me recover from my mistakes. Que gusta verte. No te ves mal. You don't look bad. You know, it's just, don't worry about it. Can I take tu bolso, your bag? Can I take tu bolso, your bag? Claro, Casey. Of course you can. Claro, Casey. How come you haven't learned that? That would be more embarrassing than... Yeah, pronounce you saying a slang word, isn't that knowing Claro KC? Well, I'm learning. Of course I'm learning. Mientras, it's been a while. It's good to see you. No te ves mal. Que va a decir, you will say, que se pare, it stops, bocios of back. Bocios de atrás, while it's out of your back pockets, I think that means. Suavena, I don't know. Carajo, we know what that means. Carajo off is the way it would be used. Get the carajo out of here. Ley de asco, it will suck if you don't. Ley de asco. He falta, there's missing. They're missing. T-H-E-R-E, missing. Despacio, slowly, but try to talk a little slower, slowly, despacio. Ayudado, I think that means listen, but the way I spelled it was wrong. Testigos, I thought that was testicles, honestly, it's witnesses. Can you believe that's a hilarious mix-up, especially when I was at court that one time in a Spanish-speaking, and they said, are you bringing any testigos? And I said, of course, you know, two. Unless you know something I don't, Your Honor. And then they said, dos testigos. And then I said, well, no more like, was one, two, she does it, okay, four. I said, it was six now, six testigos aquí. And then I said, have you heard my routine about who's on first or whatever? And they said, testigos, seis testigos o dos. And I said, aquí, or aquí. And then that's when I grabbed myself, and that was the end, you know, no trial. They said, no trial for this one. So that's good to know. This day forward, I know testigos is witnesses. I did, up until this moment, I'm not kidding. I thought it was testicles, testigos, and testicles. But it's witnesses, unless you're witness, you know, we say, oh boy, those witnesses, those testigos. It's, I wish you boys had seen more, but, you know, you've seen a lot. Like, we've seen nothing. We don't know what, you know. I said, you're the best witnesses ever, depending on, you know. And they said, well, what will we witness, Scooter? And anyway, they say, and they just told me, hey, give up on the testigos material. And I said, sure. But I lost my place. I need a testigo to help me. Passando. I'm going to move on. Passando. Going. Passando. No va a poder. He will not be able and then another derogatory word, para. No me diga. And para got used a lot. Oh, yo, I thought it meant look at me or listen to me. Abrace sir. I don't know if that's right. Esto sirve para más que merderle. That serves to put him more than droga, drug. Comida, food, cuobo. I looked this one up last week and I still know it. Q-U-I-U-B-O. We could be in for another embarrassment. Okay, so that one, Q-U-Q, that means just what's up, or what's up, or what happened, Q-Hobo. And I think I was saying last week, there's a channel here, late night cartoon channel, I think it's called Q-Hobo, it's in English, it's like cartoons for stoned people or drunk people, I used to watch it a lot. And now they don't drink every once in a while, it turns out it's still great, it's got random strange cartoons on there from the past. So check that out if you have any antenna. It might not be that might not be the name of that work, but that's what I think it is. And they would say exactamente, and I would say no, not exactly. Exactamente. I would say whatever the opposite of exactamente is. And they'd say eso, that, and I'd say eso, that. And I'd say, usto, boys, be usto with me, be fair with me. Lo siento mucho. I'm very sorry for the mix-ups this week. Lo siento mucho. And they would say, ellos, they? And I would say, what, my testigos? Which testigos are we talking about, the old testigos or the new ones? And they would say, testigos nueva? And I would say, oh, boy, And I think I would say, cuando is which, maybe, how much, I wish I knew that. And they would say, con movida, to move, and I say, no, you know, well, move with me. Debo, I must, disculpa, say I'm sorry again for that. Ivan, tracing, go three, put aside my orgullo, my pride, orgullo. But maybe be like Walton, slip in a little mentira, lies. But tu no eres así. You are not like that, listeners, dear listeners. Tu no eres así. De cierte, to tell me, you know, tell me the truth. Siento mucho que estás así. So you're so sorry. Me de lastima, I feel sorry. Verte a la mierda. That's what Walt says as he leaves. And that is like an insult. He says, I'll see you later, you carajo. And Hagali, go ahead, make my, go ahead, make my day. Hagali, me dia. Levantase, are you going to rise up? Maybe. But where are you going to rise up? Para el tic-taco for the roof. I'm going to raise the roof here. Para el Teco, I need to raise the roof because it can't hold us. The ceiling can't hold us. We're levantase so much. Para el Teco can't hold us. Para el Teco can't hold us. Agale me. That's make scooter. Well, cool, you know. Subio, I went up to the roof, to the Teco, Subio, to check it. It held us under, you know, and it held out the rain, which was great. Nibelo, I level up. If I check the roof, my roof checking skills may level up in Nibelo. Sarah Sumadre, you know, something your mother, Sarah Sumadre. What, why? Because I said the roof did hold us? I didn't say the ceiling can hold us. I just said the ceiling did hold us after it held us, you know. I wasn't against it not holding us. You know what I mean? And they say, well, the next time Padirle, ask me first, okay? I say, okay, sure, I hear you. I want to talk about the Colombian money just real quick because it was, you know, it's come up in more than one episode, and I wanted to, you know, learn a little bit about Colombia. And, you know, the money came out of the ATM, but we've seen it before. I said, who's on that money? Who's that money? You know, who's that money person? So I head over to Wikipedia. Colombian peso, according to Wikipedia, is the currency of Colombia, informally abbreviated COL dollar sign. However, the official symbol is just a dollar sign. As of July 26, 2015, according to this, the exchange rate is about 2,850 pesos to $1 U.S. We'll run through the pesos replaced the real in the 1800s. 1871, Colombia went on the gold standard, pegged the pesos to the franc, the French franc. But that only lasted 2 years because of printing press inflation. Then they pegged it to the pound and some other stuff. They left the gold standard, I think, when the UK did in 31. Let's see, modern... I don't want to, there's a lot of coins, but I don't know if I want to, let's talk about the banknotes and maybe we'll go back to the coins. Banknotes. And between 1857 and 1885, of Colombia's provinces issued paper money in 10, 50 centavos, and then in different pesos denominations. Then in the 1860s, skipped that. Between 1865 and 1923, 60 private banks, and that's a great idea, issued notes in different denominations. And then in 1881, Banco Nacional introduced notes for 20 centavos, 1, 5, 10, 20, 50, and 100 pesos. Then in 82, 15 centavo notes and 10 centavos in 85. 1,000 peso notes in 1885, 500 in 1900. In 1904, Treasury took over money production. And then in 23, Banco La Republica took over. But it looks like currently there's a currently circulating banknotes are the 1,000 pesos bill, who has Jorge Eliezer Gaitan on both halves, one side in a crowd, and then the 2,000 pesos has Francisco de Paula Santander, Francisco de Paula Santander. And on the back it has the door of the Casa de la Moneda. And then on the 5,000th pesos, it has Jose Asuncion Silva. And on the back, it has outdoors and a fragment of the poem Nocturnal. Well, that's interesting. And the 10,000 pesos, it has Policarpa Salavierteira. And on the back has a Guayadas main plaza, the birthplace of Policarpa Salabarrieta. And then at 20,000 pesos, it has Julio Gravito Amaro. And on the back, it has the moon as a reference to the Garavito crater. Garavito is his name, I'm sorry. And then in the 50,000 pesos, Jorge Isaacs. And then on the back, a photograph of La Maria. So that's a little bit about their banknotes. I just want to look up a little bit. Maybe we could look into this more of, again, some of the history of some of these wonderful people. But I just want to touch on it real quick. I guess that didn't do us any real help. We know it's a peso. Let's look up the first person. Jose Eliezer Gaitan was a politician, populist politician, high school education minister, and a labor minister, mayor of Bogota, and a charismatic leader of the Liberal Party. Unfortunately, he was sent to a farm by people that were, not for him. In 48, April 48, when it was speculated he would have become president. And this was before some insurrection took place in 48. Dr. Gaitan was against the use of violence and he wanted to elect a left-wing government, repudiated the communist revolutionary approach of the Cold War era. And unfortunately, when he was lost, it led to a period of uprising between conservatives and liberals. And facilitated, according to Wikipedia, a lot of loss. And of course, there's a lot of history about what would cause that thing. But it sounds like he was a popular hero. And here's the legacy: Gaitan is a popular myth. As Gaitan was not able to have a proper funeral because of the chaos that followed his passing, his relatives put him to rest at his own house, known as the House Museum Jorge Eliezer Gaitan, where he still rests to this day. A popular story, perhaps apocryphal, relates that during a debate with a conservative candidate, Gaitan asked him how he made his living, and the guy said, "From the land." And Gaitan asked him, "How'd you get this land?" And the guy said, "Well, I inherited it from my father." And Gaitan said, "Well, where did he get it from?" He said, "He inherited from his father." And then he said, "Well, where did his father get it?" He said, "Well, from his father." He said, "Well, where did his father get it from?" "His father." "And where did his father?" And he said, "Well, we stole it from the indigenous people. Somebody along the line did." And then Gaitan said, "Well, geez, how about we give some of this land back to these people we took it from?" And they said, "Well, obviously we don't go, the big wheel just keeps on turning," I guess, as they would say. Yeah, or the Khaleesi would say, "Well, let's just break that big wheel then." But it sounds like this guy's a hero, so I'm glad we looked it up. And that's Jorge Eliezer Gaitan, and he's on the 1,000th peso note, which we probably see a lot of in Breaking Bad, or Metastasis. So that's cool. Thank you.